So on the 21st of April at 11 de Woord Montana, there is a call to pray. It is election time. We have got elections on the 29th of May, and the Christians need to get together to pray for those elections. And at that day, they have a speaker called Reverend Suzette Hutting. She's part of Voice in the City, which is the reason why we're getting to know this wonderful lady today. Suzette, hello, how are you doing?
I'm greeting you all the way here from the Sunshine Country.
Yes, I heard you're in Georgia at the moment, but then you're all over the country when you actually visit South Africa. You obviously don't sit around and do nothing. Suzette, we've got to introduce you. I can't assume that everybody knows who you are. Normally I ask, you know, tell me who you are. But I thought let's do this a little differently this day. If you could look at your life and choose three highlights to tell me this is who Suzette is, what would you highlight?
You are right. We need a few hours for that one. But actually, I was born and bred South African. I grew up in the Free State and trained as a registered nurse and got born again, getting to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior by really watching some of my patients dying. And that's really what showed me who is God. And then within that time, I actually in my bedroom cried out to God, and there he touched me and saved my life. From there, I joined Reinhard Bonnke, which some people might know. I became the intercession leader, later his co-evangelist, and worked 18 years with him all over Africa and in the nations. And he was the one that guided me to start Voice in the City. Why Voice in the City? Because we said when the voice of God's people are heard in a city or a nation, the voice of God is heard. And that's the name of our ministry. And that has led me to 72 nations preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm this Free State girl that was sent into the world, into the mission fields of the world.
Oh, it is so exciting to just follow what God can do through one normal, everyday person with two arms, two legs, and breath in your lungs, and how God can go out. I see that you specifically say that you concentrate on cities and local communities, that you've got a heart for prayer. I mean, that's how you got involved with Reinhard Bonnke. How and why this heart for prayer?
Believe that prayer is that which moves the heart of God. The moment we really get into the place of praying, especially if we pray God's word, that moment God allow us divinely to get to be part of world affairs. In other words, to be part of what God wants to do in those nations. And he gives us that privilege to join in on what he is doing in the nations by prayer.
The thing is, when you and I, when a normal person thinks prayer, you think, good morning, God, hallelujah, and then you start praying for your family and your biggest needs. But what gets your heart to move to start praying for the nations, Suzette?
Well, the moment we start praying for our needs, it's not wrong. To pray for our family is not wrong. That's the normal thing. But then God invites us. He says in Ezekiel, he says, I look for a man who would stand in the gap, or a woman, so that he would not destroy the land. That's the point. So the moment we are actually looking across our land, as much as we believe the God for our people and for our family, that same God wants us to believe him for our nation. And that's why I am so strongly moving people, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, actually, for prayer for their land, because that is the only thing that will save the land.
The thing is, and I want to ask you whether this is what you experience. Do you experience that the bigger you pray, when you start praying for countries and for continents and for God's will all over the world, does it broaden your horizons? Does it enlarge the way you think of the God that you serve as well?
Well, actually, for me, it's very important to understand that the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So the world has always been God's focus. So I say combined prayer move mountains, but true prayer from God's people combined move a nation. So yes, you get a broader view. You actually learn to focus in on what moves the heart of God. Because if we just pray for the nation as a whole, you know, we can very quickly pray our opinion. And our opinion is not necessarily God's opinion. So if we start praying, Lord, what is your heart about this situation in our nation? You start getting God's heart into it. And when you start praying what's really what the Lord might want you to pray specifically about, that's when you start moving things in your country according to God's word.
And have you seen God's hand move as you pray for specific countries and situations?
Absolutely. We've just finished actually praying for the elections of Indonesia, which was a very, very tight situation. We feared riots. We feared all kinds of stuff. And we'd start mobilizing the church and the people of God into prayer. We raised within a month and a half 200,000 people to pray for that land. And it was the first elections where they never had riots. They didn't have problems. And God so amazingly came through, so miraculously, that we had to go back and say, wow, that was what we prayed. This is what God has done.
Tell me about your experience praying for Israel.
Well, praying for Israel, I think it's something that many people have on their heart, simply because God says in his word, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But to me, it's more than just praying, Janine. I was there. I went to see what was really happening. And what people don't realize is what's happening within the land and in what's happening in Palestine actually is amazing. People don't, they see the one side or they see the other side through the propaganda. But when you actually see, one of the things that really, really moved me personally is the sadness that's happening in Palestine. But at the same time, people don't realize that hundreds and thousands of Israeli citizens are also at the moment refugees, because they were moved out of the West immediately. The moment the South was under attack, the government moved all those families out, put them in hotels, moved them out of the area. And then, of course, because of the threat of the same thing happening on the North in Israel, they had to move hundreds and thousands of Israeli people from the northern communities. And so suddenly, thousands of people in Israel are refugees, as thousands of people in Palestine are refugees. And you sit with a horrible situation, both sides, of people that are displaced. And that moves my heart. I move for the pain of the people. I don't care who you are. I don't care what the color of your skin is and where you are from. I don't care where is your name or the ticket on you. Pain is pain. And I pray for both, be it for Israel or be it for Palestine, because they all suffer at the moment in some form severely.
And I don't see an end to the war yet. So these people, when they're displaced, that means no work, no income. It means no security. Your children, what about school? It's got such an effect on a normal person's life, if this is what your reality is every single day.
And this is what we saw there. The children and families are all stuck in a hotel room. There's no schooling for the children. There's no classrooms. And that's what the parents were saying to us. They were not blaming or anybody. They were just saying, we can't train our children. The children cannot go to school. The children are displaced. There's a whole generation at the moment of a people that don't get training. So we started working within the nation to try to just find tents or find some way in which the children can get into some form of a classroom.
Sure.
Just to get some normality. And that is the thing, that the whole communities, we went to certain areas of the country where entire communities are like a ghost town. People are overnight told, you've got so much time to pack a few things to get out here, and they are put somewhere in the land in a hotel. So the whole nation is in uproar, and the whole nation is also in its own form in mourning, be it Palestine or be it Israel, because all people are affected through this, especially the civilians.
Because I keep thinking, you get that phone call to say your loved one is never coming home. I mean, that's the reality of war. It's such heartbreak. It's such brokenness. I don't know if there's anyone who ever wins in a war.
No, nobody wins. And it's even worse if you don't even know where your loved one is. You don't know if they are still alive or not. You hope they are alive, but you don't know. And so, of course, you have all these thoughts, what is happening to your loved one. And that's the difficulty that the nation faced through the hostages. But on the other hand, the same, there's some things happening with on the other side, which is as heartbreaking, and families don't know where their loved ones are.
Mm.
And that is the for me, the worst about this war is the uncertainty and the mourning of both sides of the nations going through this war. No, there's no close end. There's not nearly an end to this war.
Yeah. Suzette, I mean, when you think about it, it's the leadership. It's always one man and another man that heads up a country that decides that this is what we're going to do going forward, and it affects the lives of everyone. And that is why in our country, we need to be praying for the elections, isn't it?
God says in Daniel that God is the one who actually chooses. So for that very reason, in Indonesia, for example, which is a country I work in for 32 years already, and so I mobilize the people and say, listen, we have to believe, we have to involve God into this election, that whoever God choose of the three candidates we had, that it would be God's choice. Why? Because even though, doesn't matter, I'm not talking even of the religion of that person, I'm talking of who God choose for the best of the land. Mm. When we look again at Ezekiel, the Bible says clearly, I look for a man or a woman who would stand in the gap on behalf of the land. And so I think whatever is on that land, it's not about my opinion or my religion, or I need to get God involved on the behalf of what's the best for the land, and not the opinion of the people. That's why it's so important that we pray for the elections.
But Suzette, that implies that we want to find out what his will is. It implies that we don't pray our own will to be done, because that's very easy to do. There's a difference between finding out what God's will is and praying that. You can even pray scripture to get your own will done, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why it's so important that we as God's people learn how to start saying, Lord, what is on your heart? And, you know, because God is not obliged to answer our opinions. He's not obliged. Many people pray our opinion and then we ask God to bless our opinion. That's not what the Bible teach. That's why it's so important that we also do now this training of the trumpet corps very soon here in South Africa, where I mobilize, even though it might not be many, but people with a heart who will come into that place of worshiping God, and we say, so Lord, direct us by your word. What is on your heart to pray? And then combine, start praying that, because even though you pray scripture, if you try to find the right scripture to suit your opinion, you are already in trouble. But if you start saying, so Lord, I am humbling myself before you. I seek your face. Guide me by your Holy Spirit. What is your heart? And guide me by. And the Lord will give you a song. He would give you a scripture. He would give you something. And in your heart, there would be a joy, a witness that is what you start praying. And when that is what we start doing, then we involve all of heaven, because then God inhabit the praises of his people and God become your prayer partner in that prayer.
Yeah, you've got these prayer retreats, the trumpet calls, and I'm very excited about that, because you invite people not to come look spiritual. You want people who actually are serious about prayer. But I do want to ask you, Suzette, how prayer fit are we in South Africa? Do we even know how to pray in this country?
Janine, we walk on thin ice.
Tell me.
All right, yeah, I think that, you know, most people think they know how to pray. And who am I to say that prayer is right or that prayer is wrong? I wouldn't do that. But I do think that there are different levels of understanding. And the more we understand about prayer and what the words say, the deeper our experience in prayer. So I think how fit is South Africa? I think that depends very much on their personal relationship with the Lord.
I've heard, and I hear it a lot, you do your best and God does the rest. Now, it's like we actually, and even our prayers reflect that we pray the kind of prayers that actually we can fulfill ourselves, because it's like we don't trust that God is bigger than what we can achieve. And at the end of the day, actual prayer, if I'm just thinking of the prophets of old or even Paul and how they prayed for their cities, for the peace of their cities, so that they can serve God in peace, they didn't pray safe prayers.
Well, Janine, I would put it to you like this. I wouldn't even call it a safe prayer, because I think the Father is ready to listen to every prayer. And every prayer that's from the heart has power. If it's real from the heart, if it has 3 words or 10 words or no words, it is real before the Father. So I think my focus is not to get the specialized prayer. My focus is to take the everyday person and say, come, let's walk a path into a deeper relationship with God and learn through that how to maybe be more effective in prayer. Because I think every prayer has the same Holy Spirit and every prayer is precious before God. So I don't think there's such a thing as a safe prayer. I think there's a real prayer that's really from the heart or not.
True, but you didn't start out there now, did you? I mean, you started out with knowing nothing, not knowing the word, not knowing your God, not knowing anything. It was a process, it was a journey to get you to a place where you can stand as a warrior.
Absolutely true. My beginning started with me actually working with Open Doors. And I asked them information to send to me. So I started praying every day for 3 minutes for some family that was behind the Iron Curtain. That was my full understanding of intercession. To be honest, I didn't even know how to spell it. And that's where I began. But God saw the faithfulness of my heart and the hunger of my heart. And the process I walk to where I am today is where I want to take every person where they are and lead them onto a path of a deeper understanding of how to be more effective in their prayer, which doesn't make them exceptional. It just makes them more focused.
So if someone's listening right now and they've got a yearning for more, you sing that very mock ad, but there's more. There is more. If God is God, there's always more. So if they've got a yearning for deeper, for more, for their eyes to be opened up, how do they connect with you and your ministry?
Well, they can just simply go to our webpage, which is www.voiceinthecity.org. They can connect with us that way, or they can connect with us in different way. We have got actually a registered office right here in South Africa. And I would like to say this to the prayers and to the people listening to me, Janine. If you have any hunger in your heart, it's put there by the Holy Spirit. And God wants to develop that. He wants to increase you. He wants you to know that what you already give to Him is precious and holy to Him. But He wants to take you to that place where you are in a deeper, intimate relationship with the Lord. And even if you are a strong prayer already, of course, is there always more in God. Always. And that doesn't put us like this great heroes in prayer. Just the opposite. We learn to be more focused in prayer. So I don't want the prayers to get the idea, or the people that are listening to me, wow, you have to be like these kind of people that lock themselves away for 10 hours in a room. I don't have the time for that. That's not what God asks. And that's not what we ask. We ask the people to learn how to pray focused and guided by the Holy Spirit. And anybody that has that kind of hunger can connect with us any possible way with our office here in South Africa. Just put in any engine, Google engine, and say Voice in the City South Africa or Voice in the City, or go straight to our webpage.
You're also invited on the 21st of April to go join them at Leaven de Wet Montana. Suzette will be a speaker there, and you're going to hear more of this and more of the background of Israel and all of that. But you can follow them on Voice in the City. Also, that call to prayer or trumpet call. It is a free event, so you can just go at iTickets and call and just type in their call to prayer at iTickets. And it is on the 21st of April. It's a Sunday morning at 8 a.m. They just want to see how many people there are to be able to cater for everyone and be prepared for you. But it's going to be, it's strategic. I always say South Africans moan less, pray more. It doesn't help. Our moaning helps nothing. It helps nothing. We're wasting our time. We're just making ourselves more bitter and more negative. We need to change our hearts by being in prayer. Suzette, We wanna bless you in the name of Jesus. I know it is lonely sometimes to stand for unadulterated truth, to stand for God's opinion in a world that is dark and stands against God's light. But may you always have the tolerance, the patience. May you always have the wisdom. May your heart stay soft. May that humility be something that God can raise up to do lots of things, because He actually gets the glory. And may people listen. May people listen. May their actions change because you get them down on their knees. God gets them down on their knees. May your love for him always be so visible in your obedience, and may it have eternal effect in South Africa and all over the world.
Janine, it has been my honor to share with the people, and I want to say to them, this is your day. If you don't even feel you can pray, spend time in worship, because just a little bit of worship is the highest form of service.